Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to The Vanished ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts.
Well, I strictly care about locating Taurasi. I do not worry about lifestyle, or you know, if it's an alternative lifestyle or whatever lifestyle he may lead. My goal is to locate Taurasi.
I try to rationalize like how my brother went missing, right? Because I feel like that's what every person who has lost someone tries to like live with it, I guess. Even me, who I have a master's degree in social work, and I know how grief works, and I'm trying to process my own feelings, right? But it's so hard because I still fall into depression sometimes because I'm just like, how can my brother just be missing? Like, why, God? You know, like, this is not fair.
On August 30th, 2017, 23-year-old Taurasi Niholembele disappeared from a home in Phoenix, Arizona. During part one of Taurasi's story, I shared with you the story of Taurasi's family's journey to the United States to escape war and genocide in their home country. Taurasi and his family came to the U.S. as refugees in 1998, when Taurasi was just 4 years old. He quickly adapted to life in the U.S., but continued to struggle with some of the challenges faced by those who have been in traumatic situations. In junior high school, Taurasi met his future wife, Cheyenne, and they eventually had a daughter together. Taurasi loved his wife and daughter. Then, on August 30th, 2017, Taurasi left home and went to a residence in Phoenix, Arizona. The reason he was visiting this home is unknown. His wife Cheyenne was waiting on him to return and attempted to reach him several times via phone and text message. When she realized that his phone was turned off, she started to reach out to his friends and family members. Taurasi has not been seen since that afternoon. What happened to Taurasi on August 30th, 2017? The clues point back to the last place he was known to be, but what exactly happened and why remains a mystery. I'm Marissa, and from Wondery, this is episode 159 of The Vanished, part 2 of Taurasi's story. Audible offers thousands of popular favorites, exclusive new series, guided wellness programs, comedy, and exciting new voices in audio. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. I like to listen a little bit each evening while I'm cooking dinner, and it's great for my evening walks too. Recently, I've been listening to Lay Them to Rest by Laura Norton. It's a fantastic audiobook. You don't want to miss it. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. That's audible.com/MIA or text MIA to 500-500. You heard from Taurasi's sister Aline in part one. She shared what she remembers about the day Taurasi vanished.
His wife was expecting him to come home. He went to run an errand. From what I understand, like he went to go to this house to run an errand, and his friend was supposed to drop him off there, and he never came home. They live in like Peoria, Arizona, which is between like 25-minute drive, right? Between this friend, who the detective also interviewed. My little brother, Jafet, told me that Taurasi was missing. Then I called Cheyenne and found out he was missing. But I still didn't believe it just because I was like, he's probably in jail. Or he's at the mental health hospital and we just haven't got the update. But then his wife was like, no, he's not, because he was supposed to be right back. He's not, he didn't go there. But I was like, yeah, but you also know Taurasi, he might have, between this 25-minute drive, he might have ended up in jail somehow. The area that he went missing in is not a good neighborhood. We go into search mode. But like, we knew he was missing because he was supposed to be coming back to his wife. And then my mom didn't hear from him for like 2 days. And that's unheard of. Like, their relationship is, if you carry a child through war, I feel like you're going to have like, I mean, I don't feel not special to my mom, but I mean, Taurasi was her favorite. So like, we know he was missing because my brother's relationship with his older brother, Jafet, his wife expecting him home. The thing is, the neighborhood he was in is like a drug. So when I was canvassing the neighborhood where he went missing last, I ran into a friend that he was in jail with. Because I was handing out flyers and the people were contacting me to get flyers for me on Facebook. So I went and met with this friend who lives in that neighborhood, like maybe 2 minutes from the house that he went missing at. Well, he was supposed to be at. So like, I'm assuming that's where he went missing. And the friend said like, oh, this is run by the Mexican cartel. I don't think that there's any stones that we haven't turned, but I still tell my brother's story because you never know. Like, there's this small, tiny hope.
Taurasi's wife, Cheyenne, knew something was wrong when he didn't return home as she was expecting him to. Taurasi was a devoted husband and father to his young daughter, despite the challenges he faced getting his mental health problems under control. His family was his top priority. We spoke to Cheyenne and asked her what she remembers from the day Taurasi disappeared.
The day he went missing, you know, during that day, he was a little hyperactive, but I spoke with him last on the phone. I wasn't even too far from where he was at, and he told me where he was located at this house. Spoke with me on the phone, and, you know, told me he was coming home. These were, I wouldn't say friends, though. These were more so, you know, acquaintances, strangers, in a sense. I didn't even know them. He didn't know them too well. He just met them.
As you heard Aline mention, Taurasi was last known to be at a residence that may have been occupied by associates of a drug cartel. Drug cartels are more than what we see on TV and read in the media. In states that share a border with Mexico, such as Arizona, cartels take on the characteristics of organized crime syndicates and local gangs that operate there. While I was researching this case, I found no evidence that Taurasi was involved with any criminal organization or drug trafficking operation. But that doesn't mean that he couldn't have fallen victim to someone who was part of one of those organizations for something as simple as being in the wrong place at the wrong time, or making someone mad. What's interesting is that this house that Taurasi was last seen at, in the months after Taurasi vanished, another man was murdered there. The police believe that this murder is drug-related. There doesn't appear to be a direct connection between Taurasi's disappearance and this man's murder, except for the location. What was going on behind those walls, we can't be certain. Aline told us about the extent of Taurasi's drug use that she was aware of.
I know my brother smoked pot because he had a medical marijuana card. So yeah, he was a legal drug user, or like a legal pot smoker. I think it was part self-medicating.
While I was researching this episode, I saw photos and videos of Taurasi and his adorable young daughter on social media. Here's a clip from a video of Taurasi and his daughter singing together.
Hear me? Sing it, Kalani. Go ahead, rap. We're about to make a song and we're going to become famous. Do you hear me?
Uh-huh.
You want to become famous?
Yeah.
Why not, huh? We deserve it, right?
Yes.
You're right, baby. We deserve it. Cause daddy earned it, hey. Ain't nobody gonna perm it. Hey. Okay, Kalani. Okay. We're gonna turn it down so everybody can hear you. Go ahead. No girl. No cow.
Daddy, can I put my shoes on?
Yeah, you want, what shoes you want, baby?
I know.
Which one? Go get them so I can put them on for you. Ooh, look at you, you're a rock star, girl.
No way.
I'm going to show the same video to you when you're 16 years old, and you're going to be like, don't show it to my boyfriend, Daddy.
I wanted to hear Cheyenne's perspective on what Taurasi is like and how special he was to their daughter.
He's an amazing father. I have been blessed with someone better, to be honest. He's been there since day one. Very hands-on with his child. She's only 4, but she has amazing memories of them together. Because there would be moments where Taurasi was able to work and do everything, and then there'd be moments where he couldn't, and I did that in it. If it was that moment, then he was always at home with Kalani. And I mean, he was amazing. Daddy's outgoing, has a ton of friends. A lot of people know him. He'll stick out in a crowd for sure.
I think the whole thing, I'm sure was, and because he struggled, I think. And I think a lot of his mental health played an effect, especially, people not knowing that someone suffering, with mental health played an effect as far as him growing up in teenage and all that stuff. So I think having to go to places like that, or having your parents send you away or things, anything like that, I'm sure that could be traumatizing. But at the same time, I can't say that he's never held his own in those places. Taurasi's a survival, like if I was going to be trapped somewhere, I'd want to be trapped with him, because he'll figure out a way for you to survive out of it.
Given the mysterious circumstances under which Taurasi disappeared, and the fact that no one seems to know who he was going to see or why, I wondered what the initial response was after his wife filed the missing persons report. Cheyenne said that she didn't believe the police initially took Taurasi's disappearance seriously.
They didn't. I wouldn't say that it was taken seriously, like in the way I would have wanted it to. Of course, they reported him missing. Of course, they put that out there. But I felt like in the beginning, people were more so looking for someone on drugs walking the street. And I kind of get more so looking like, okay, someone, harmed him. So it was kind of, that was more of my battle in the beginning, was trying to convince people to look at this as a homicide, not so much as a missing person.
Taurasi has now missed 2 of his daughter's birthdays, 2 Thanksgivings, and 2 Christmases with his young family. His daughter is old enough to know that someone is missing from her life. Taurasi's wife Cheyenne spoke about what the last year and a half has been like for her, raising a young child and looking for answers to her husband's disappearance. She gave us some interesting perspective on how her life has changed.
It's been a year now. I've done a lot of processing of this, and a lot of people tell me that, you speak so well, and you talk like you're so strong, I wouldn't be crying. But this is a year later now. I've already processed a lot of things. So for me at this point, I really would just like to know what happened and who, why, so that I can, and my daughter and myself could just move forward. But goodness, if I'm able to find him, whether he is gone or not, I would love that even more. But just knowing what happened would satisfy me. I think for some people, it's easier for them to think that their loved one is out on the street still. And then for some people, it's easier to just think that they're gone so you can move forward. And I'm one of those people. Because it makes me wonder more, like, okay, what exactly happened? And I mean, how is it that I haven't found anything? I mean, that's the thing. A lot of things that I know, that I haven't got anything hardcore, proof. And that's the part that's frustrating. I've prayed a lot for this. I'm actually feeling confident. Like, I feel like I will get the answer soon. I'm hoping I'm not, one of the unfortunates that are looking years and years and years later.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable. And you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/vanished. ZocDoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished. I've been fortunate enough to meet some of the members of the Missing Persons Unit within the Phoenix Police Department. And they are truly doing admirable work in looking to find missing people and bringing closure to their families. We spoke to Detective Chris Jansen, who was working on Taurasi's case, and he said something that I wish I could say about all law enforcement agencies working on missing persons cases, that he only wants to find Taurasi and that he's not concerned about any trouble that Taurasi had gotten into previously. He was kind enough to grant us an interview for this episode.
I am Detective Christopher Jansen. I am a detective with the Phoenix Police Department's Missing and Unidentified Persons Unit, and I currently investigate the disappearance of missing adults and juveniles that occur within the city of Phoenix. We have one squad consists of five detectives and one sergeant, and then we're housed with the Family Investigations Bureau. And we handle any type of disappearance of all the way from juveniles to adults. And our main focus is locating the missing people. We want to provide resolutions to families. And all of our cases remain open until we locate the person, again, in any physical state. So each time we might hear the word cold case, our cases are... We always look at them. We don't ever want to give up. We don't accept failure.
Detective Jansen shared that his primary goal is to find Taurasi and bring answers to Aline, Cheyenne, and their family. I've covered cases in the past where it feels as though law enforcement isn't fully engaged or interested in finding the missing person because of some of the choices they made before they disappeared. The Phoenix Police Department takes a completely different approach to locating missing persons. And Detective Jansen told me what his priority is in Taurasi's case.
Well, I strictly care about locating Taurasi. I do not worry about lifestyle, you know, if it's an alternative lifestyle or whatever lifestyle he may lead. My goal is to locate Taurasi. The way I know Taurasi and the way that when I've talked to, you know, Aline and then Cheyenne is, you know, Taurasi's a young father and he's a brother. You know, he's with his mother and father, and that they're from Africa, and they moved out to the United States when Taurasi was a young child, and that's what I stick with. I really want to provide answers to both Aline and to Cheyenne, and to Taurasi's young daughter. The goal of the missing persons unit in the Phoenix Police Department is to locate Taurasi, and we don't let anything in his past cloud our judgment or cloud our investigation into his disappearance. So, you know, again, our big goal is to provide the family answers. Whatever answers we have, we're going to go ahead and get that to them. What I can tell you is that roughly on in between August 30th of 2017 and September 1st of 2017, within that 24-hour timeline, Taurasi was last seen at a residence in the area of 55th Avenue and Osborne Road out here in Phoenix, Arizona, in the Maryvale area. He was dropped off at that residence by a friend of his, which is known to Cheyenne and the rest of his friends and family out in the Surprise area. He was last seen at that house. His friend dropped him off and said that he was waiting for Taurasi to give him a holler back or a telephone call to come pick him up. And his buddy never got that telephone call. So the next morning, you know, you have Taurasi's friend calls Cheyenne just to check up on Taurasi, and at that time there's no word, and they couldn't get a hold of Taurasi. Cheyenne went ahead and she initiated a missing persons report with the city of Phoenix. We started talking to as many people as possible and learned that there are two sets of friends. You have the friends and family that are from Surprise. There are some other unknown friends that are out in the Phoenix area. So it looks as though that those two groups of people in Taurasi's life didn't know each other and didn't have a lot of information on each other.
Detective Jansen wasn't able to share too much information about Taurasi's case, but it's clear that something happened at that house he went to the day he disappeared. This leaves us with so many questions about who was at that house and why Taurasi was going there. Detective Jansen did say the house was searched, but there was no indication of Taurasi there. So we asked him what the investigation looks like today.
So it was kind of, you know, our goal is to locate him and using probably word of mouth. We've sought out the assistance of traditional media, and we've also sought out the assistance of the Silent Witness Program, hoping that, especially around the holidays, someone would be willing to reach out, or if they have information, reach out and contact us with any information on Taurasi. And the Silent Witness Program, depending on the outcome of the case, there could be a potential monetary award for the information, any information that we can receive from citizens at large and a general public. Making the general public aware of his disappearance is, at this point, is paramount to helping us find Taurasi. Anybody that wants to help, if they have any information on Taurasi, and we understand in the missing persons unit, we understand that some people go missing on their own accord. They just disconnect with family for whatever reason. Receiving information from the public is going to help us out. And so our goal is to bring awareness to his name and that he is missing. We keep the cases open, and we make sure to partner up with our organizations such as NamUs, such as Silent Witness Program, and other traditional media platforms, social media platforms. We also implemented the Missing in Arizona Day. And so this is the fourth year in a row. This past October of 2018 was our fourth year in a row. And we will provide a platform for anybody to come down to see us and report their loved one missing. It's basically a one-stop shop. We had, I would say, upwards of 8 to 10 different agencies. We also had intelligence analysts there. We had NamUs there. We had Border Customs Patrol out there. And we had the medical examiner's office out there to help us out. And, you know, we have a smaller squad, but our work is a passionate work. And we employ the assistance of all these great programs and organizations, as well as reaching out to a huge counterpart, which is our citizens from all across the nation, not just here in Phoenix and not or the surrounding towns and cities, but we seek out the assistance from you know, the entire country to help out. And that's why, you know, in the words for Taurasi, is we partnered up with Silent Witness and traditional media and social media to get the word out that he's been missing. He's been missing for about 14 months now, and we are seeking information, and we'd love to provide family resolution and provide resolution to his daughter.
There are so many moving parts in this case that I wanted to know how the Phoenix Police Department investigates missing persons cases when the person may have been in the custody of another agency or have left the country. In part one, Aline shared that Taurasi had previously been in immigration proceedings but was allowed to stay. Is there a chance that he could have left the country? So we asked Detective Jansen how his department interacts with others and what they do to manage missing persons cases with different challenges.
And the one thing that connects all law enforcement agencies is the NCIC. So the NCIC entry, even if he was arrested by another agency or was in another jail system, they would end up running his name in their internal database, and it would immediately pop up the NCIC alert status of him being a missing adult. And in my experience, those agencies, when they've located one of my missing adults or juveniles, they call us right away. They let us know the status of their case involving the missing adult or child. And from there, we'll go ahead and make our contacts with the friends and family of our missing person or missing loved one. That's one reason why we put them in the NCIC program or the NCIC entry, is to alert all law enforcement across the country that they are to contact the Phoenix Police Department. We understand that there are a lot of missing persons investigations that occur somewhere in between the borders of Arizona and Mexico. We understand that, but we're not very worried about their status, not worried about their legal status. Our goal is, if a family is going to come forward, regardless of where they're from, our goal is to locate their family. And what we did with the missing in Arizona, we understood that a lot of families were going to be coming from Mexico into the United States, into Arizona. And we did solicit the assistance of Customs and Border Patrol, because sometimes when their family members do cross the border, they do get wrapped up in the legal system, and they might be located in another governmental facility. So that's why they were there, to help us out. But if we can't find them, what we did is we got as much information from dental records to photos of the men or women that went missing, and we got them into NCIC right away, and then we took a report. And then when we had that report, we sent it out to the jurisdiction which that report should reside in. But our goal is to set aside any jurisdictional boundaries. We set that aside, and we took the humanitarian approach. When a person goes missing, we don't care about lifestyle. We don't care about where they come from. We don't care about their socioeconomic status or anything like that. And our goal is to locate them. So we had a ton of support from a lot of agencies, including the federal agencies like Customs and Border Patrol. And our Missing in Arizona Day event is also a non-enforcement event. So you saw very minimal law enforcement personnel wearing their uniforms. I remember when I was there, I just had a plain polo shirt on that said Missing Persons Unit. So we, again, with that respect, we take the humanitarian approach, and we want to people to know, yes, we are going to be affiliated with the Phoenix Police Department, but our goal is to take care of the families and to provide families resolutions on their missing loved ones.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems, whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. While there's still so many questions about Taurasi's case, for Aline, she still remains hopeful that her family will one day get answers.
There's no way he's alive and just out there. Like, it's just not possible. What I hope for my family and for his wife and his child is I hope we can have answers, you know, like, oh, hey, he was killed in a drug confrontation or whatever. If we can find what I hope for my family's answers, but even if we can have anything, you know, because it's so hard to like move on when you don't have any sort of proof that the person's deceased, because there is still a chance. I hope he comes back, though. I really do. I don't think he will, though. And I'm okay with that at this point, because there's nothing more. Like, I feel like the only thing I can do is just keep telling my brother's story and keep his memories and his just humor and his love for people. I feel like I just keep his legacy going. Does that make sense? I was in therapy when my brother went missing from my own like sexual trauma when I was 4. Like when I was in the refugee camp, I just went through a lot of shit. So I had a lot of like my own mental health issues that I was processing. So when he went missing, I was already in therapy. So I cried a lot in therapy. Like my therapist, she's a queen. If you find yourself a good therapist, don't lose their number. Anyway, so I was able to process like all of my emotions. It's a lot of crying because like even now, like I cannot go on his Instagram page and look at him playing with his daughter and not cry, you know, because I'm just like, this is my brother, you know, like that's who he is. That's who he was. Our detective has been amazing. I feel like he's been extremely responsive. So because that's part of it is like when you feel like you're being heard. As far as law enforcement goes, I feel like they've done what they could to look for him. And they've done what we've asked them to look into. They've looked into it. Like there isn't anything that I feel like was left on the table as far as the investigation goes. At this point, if this podcast somehow generates new information from your listeners, then we'll pass that on to the detectives and then they will follow up on it. I have no doubt that they will follow up on it. I'm very confident that they will, if they hear any leads, they will follow up on it. I feel better about it because I've heard stories of people who just were not getting justice, you know, can you imagine going through all this and not being heard? So when we first got this detective, I just had all these preconceived notions of what he was going to be like. I talked to him a little bit on the phone and then I called him. How I knew he was legit, like trying to help me find my brother, is I called him like because I did a Facebook page and I asked him for flyers. He emailed me the flyer. And then a couple hours later, I had printed the flyers and I someone on Facebook said, oh, we might have saw your brother at this location, right? I swear within like 25 minutes, I was driving to our location to make sure to see if my brother was there and also give that store owner a flyer so they know if he does come back there so they can, you know, notify the police, right? The detective was there. He was there before I got there. The fact is, like, he's got a lot of cases, but the fact that I called him, I was like, hey, there's this place. I was like, oh, my brother might be at this place. And he went there. And then I called him and I told him about this other place. People kept saying they saw him there. So they went and canvassed that neighborhood. And then he was so responsive to all of my calls and all of my emails. No one's lucky in this. I'm not afraid to keep speaking my brother's name. I'm not afraid to keep any opportunity that comes along, like whether anyone does anything with it. Like, I've talked to every single reporter who will speak to me because I'm going to make sure my brother's name is heard. He won't be forgotten. I don't want him to be forgotten. Like, he can't be forgotten because he brought so much joy into this world. Like, if you met him, you would love him.
So what happened to 23-year-old Tarasi Niholambele? Why did he go to that house and who was he going to see? Why did he seem out of sorts that day? Did he fall prey to some kind of unknown danger at this residence? Why hasn't anyone come forward? Tarasi's story leaves us with so many unanswered questions and a young daughter with a bright future who regularly asks her mom where her dad is. I'm convinced that there are people out there who know exactly what happened to Tarasi and where he is. We can't be certain why they aren't coming forward. But considering that Tarasi disappeared from this residence and then just months later another man was murdered there, it's possible that fear is keeping people quiet. Also, those who hold the answers may be involved in criminal activity themselves. At the time of his disappearance, Tarasi was 23 years old, 5 feet 7 inches tall, and weighed approximately 130 pounds. He has black hair and brown eyes. If you have any information about Tarasi's disappearance, please contact the Phoenix Police Department at 602-534-2121. You can follow Tarasi's case on Facebook at Bring Tarasi Home.
Refugees are extremely resilient people. Like, we survive. Refugees are not like people who just come and sit on their ass and like collect a check. Like, there is no checks to collect. That's a myth. Like, when you have no other option but to survive and thrive, it's called grit. Like, we just have like this. I mean, I cannot speak for every refugee in the world, but like, my parents would never have put us through leaving our home and walking to a whole different country and then moving there. Like, we were in the refugee camp. They used to tell stories, oh, if you go there, white people are gonna eat you. Like, just myth, you know, like things that aren't true, right? But my parents still took the chance, but they didn't know any better. Most of us would have died of starvation if we would have stayed.
And the thing is like, I think if we all as people just give each other a chance and like open our hearts more and just be kind. Like, I think if we all were kinder to each other, the world would be a much better place and we would all, you know, like each other more. Like, just get to know each other. We are just grateful that my brother's story is still being told, because there's a lot of missing people who don't even, like their families are too scared to say anything because of like legal statuses, criminal cases, or whatever the situation may be, you know? Like, we've been lucky in all of this. Like, we have a good detective and we have a really good supportive family. And he had an amazing wife. Like, his wife, like, oh my gosh, she would go through, she's been through so much with him. You know, I think that's the other reason. Like, she's just been through so much that I think she's tired.
That brings us to the end of part two of Taurasi's story. I'd like to thank Aline, Cheyenne, and Detective Jansen for speaking with us. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. If you'd like to contact me, there's a page and a discussion group on Facebook. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and also on Instagram. If you enjoy this show, subscribe now and leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wondery.com, or wherever you're listening right now. Do you want to help support the show? There's a couple things that you can do. One way to help The Vanished is by supporting our sponsors. You can find links and promo codes in the episode notes. Another way to support the show is by filling out a short survey at Wondery.com/survey. Join me next time. I'll be covering a story from Colorado. Thanks for listening.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
It's all a lighthearted nightmare on our podcast, Morbid.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina Urquhart.
And I'm Ash Kelly.
And our show is part true crime, part spooky, and part comedy.
The stories we cover are well-researched.
He claimed and confessed to officially killing up to 28 people.
With a touch of humor.
I just like to go ahead and say that if there's no band called Malevolent Deity,
that is pretty great.
A dash of sarcasm and just garnished a bit with a little bit of cursing.
This motherfucker lied.
Like a liar.
Like a liar.
And if you're a weirdo like us and love to cozy up to a creepy tale of the paranormal,
or you love to hop in the Wayback Machine and dissect the details of some of history's most notorious crimes,
you should tune in to our podcast, Morbid. Follow Morbid on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to episodes early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.